Thank you very much, Mr. Golden, and good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to those who are joining us on the webcast, and it is very good to be here. I look forward to meeting more of you after services, but it is a pleasure to be here. We hadn't had a family vacation in 15 years. Of course, going to the feast always is fun and a vacation like, but it's not a vacation, it's the feast, and you work as well, and you serve in that way. But we thought it would be nice to have a family vacation and have some one-on-one time, so we kind of closed our eyes and put our finger on the map, actually just the condo or a cottage that was available. Almost everything was sold out, but we ended up going to Evergreen, Colorado, which we had no idea what it was about, but it was a very lovely setting on Upper Bear Creek Road, and we stayed in and played board games, and then we did a little bit of hiking, but really wanted to just have a lot of one-on-one with our children and family time, so we certainly enjoyed ourselves. And knowing that the sergeants were so close to Evergreen, we thought we would pester them. And as he said, you know, once we told him we were coming, he said, well, you can just have the sermon. And of course, I wouldn't want to get out of a sermon. I just, you know, brought up a couple precautionary things. You know, the altitude is much higher here, and I haven't ever given a sermon in these conditions. I don't know if I would be able to do that. And he said, oh, we have a protocol for that. If you pass out, we just give you oxygen and you keep preaching. So I'm very glad that there is that protocol in place. If something happens to me, I'll see you in a couple minutes, I guess, so that'll be all right. But we really have enjoyed ourselves in Colorado and spending time in Evergreen and Monument, a beautiful area. I feel like I catch myself not looking at the road because I just want to look around, so I'm not quite used to the scenery and how beautiful it is. But we did not expect to have as hot of weather as what we've had. We went from, you know, 100 degrees in Kansas City, hoping to get about 65, but today it's about like that. But when we were hiking, it was more like 92, and we got tired pretty quick. But we were hoping for a little cooler weather. But then I got curious about Kansas City compared to Monument in this area as far as the snowfall. And in Monument, it's about 111 inches a year and average, possibly 126, a little, I guess it varies. And in Kansas City, it's about 28. So if there's one thing for certain, you do receive a lot more snow here. And maybe if we come in the winter, we'll see some snow. Regardless of statistics, though, about snow accumulation, one thing that you probably have heard of is a snowball effect. Where something gets going and it just continues to kind of compound and compound. Discouragement can kind of be like that, where you have one certain event possibly, and then maybe something adds on top of that, and before you know it, there's discouragement. You can look around at the times that we're in, and we see the moral decline, and we see the nation that we're in. We remain watchful, but it can be discouraging to kind of see things that are happening to our nation and look ahead, but we do know that there are better times to come. But what is coming down the road? We know that it will be perilous times. We know the world events to come are going to really impact this nation in a negative way. And of course, we see the moral decline. But when one is discouraged, you know, a snowball effect can really come into play. That discouragement can feel like that snowball that continues to grow and grow. And I remember, you know, growing up and building a snowman, you start out with this little small snowball, and then you put it in the ground, you roll it, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, rather quickly, you have a large base for your snowman. You know, good news, if we're not focusing on it, if all we are paying attention to are some of the discouraging things, then it will feel like that snowball that is getting larger and larger if we aren't having those encouraging thoughts. My oldest son, Jonathan, he was really blessed this summer to have such a good baseball coach, a very good encourager, outstanding coach. He was the top-rated catcher in the state of Kansas. Then he got a full ride to K-State University, and he was ended up, I guess he was a pitcher as well. He could throw a 97 mile an hour fastball, had the pro scouts that were looking at him, but he had an injury that didn't allow him to go on to that next level. But phenomenal coach, and he just happened to get him as a coach at random, and we just moved to Lewisburg, Kansas. But he is a real blessing for him, and very encouraging to watch him. And they were an awesome team, I think, much to do with the coaching that was involved and the encouragement that was given. But they were rolling, I guess you could say, and had a very good record going into the tournament. Won their first game, and then on to the next round, which was the undefeated team that they would play. And so they said, you know what, we can do this. They're ready to go. They're ready to try to beat this undefeated team. You know, a couple strikeouts, and you think they were facing Nolan Ryan and the Yankees bullpen. There's a little bit of a discouragement. You see it in these little kids' body language. And then, then we have a couple bad calls. And now Jonathan tells me it wasn't a couple bad calls. There was a lot of bad calls. And there were a few bad calls, I will say. But then that kind of discouraged them more. And then one thing built upon the next. And before you know it, you had a discouraged team. And they were so encouraged before. And then now all of a sudden, they're discouraged. And the play affected the next play and the next play. And they were not focusing on those small victory. There were many things that they were doing right, but they were having a hard time looking at the good. And they were a very good team. They still were a good team, but they were having trouble looking at how good of a team they were. They were not focusing on the small victories. They had very well executed plays, but they could only concentrate on the score, the prior strikeouts, the bad calls, and the strikeouts. But that was what they were focusing on. Now, if we watch the news on a regular basis, what do we hear? How everything is so good and positive and uplifting, good report, message that, you know, the kingdom is coming, right? No, we don't hear that. We don't hear the good news if we turn on the TV. There are not a lot of good reports that we get. The media is very focused on violent crimes, things for shock value, catastrophes, political agendas. And so you have a string of news that focuses on the negative. We turn on the TV and we focus on the negative. Now, we don't bury our head in the sand too, and we, as if we don't recognize the world around us and the events to come. We are watchful. We are not going to bury our head in the sand. But we are to focus on positive. We are to meditate on things that are of a good report. And it's kind of hard in the world that we live in. Wouldn't it be something if the media spent the majority of the time trying to find good report? Now, there are certain media outlets that at the very end of the segment, you know, after all of this discouraging news, they're now for some good news. Oh, good. You get a little bit of good news. But wouldn't it be something if that percentage was flipped and you spend all this time focusing on some encouragement? Maybe ratings would go up. I don't know. They do it for the ratings, so probably not. They know what the people are gravitating towards. But hearing good news can be very encouraging. You know, I thought about the sermonette as well. You know, that was pretty discouraging what happened. But it was, hey, keep pressing forward. Let's do it again. Let's start over. Some encouraging news, some motivation. Say, hey, let's do this. Keep pressing forward. But, what if every single day, I know this is not a real hypothetical situation that would happen. What if every single day a tired father comes dragging in the door only to receive good news from his wife? Guess what happened today while you were gone? What? Little Johnny volunteered to do the dishes and extra chores. Wow, that's incredible. Sally and Johnny didn't argue once today. Well, that's good news. Little Jimmy mowed the yard for you. Well, he's four. Well, he's strong. Well, that's incredible. He's a genius too. Wow. Mowed it straight. Did he do the edging as well? Yes. I also found out, got a random call from Costco, and you just want a raffle. We want a raffle. We put in 3 years ago. We get food, free food for a year at the groceries. Well, that's incredible. You know, the dog that we have, It walks itself now. And it cleans up after itself. I can't believe it. That's amazing. I also found your favorite beer on sale. It's ice cold for you. Well, how much was it? It's free. They're just giving it away. This is what a great day. Well, that's amazing. It's only Monday, you know. What wonderful news. What will tomorrow bring? And we live in a world where that's typically not the emphasis of what will tomorrow bring. It's not what will tomorrow bring. It's more what will tomorrow bring. I wonder what tomorrow will bring. We do live in a world where people specifically do not watch the news. It's because it's hard to find that good news, a good message. God's word is that good message to us. We're so thankful we do have the encouraging scriptures. There are so many encouraging scriptures found in specifically Isaiah, Jeremiah. On top of that warning message, of course, that was in Jeremiah, there are tons of encouraging scriptures there. And there is that warning message, of course, that is going out as well. But we want to be encouraged. And a great way to be encouraged is to focus on a good report. It doesn't mean that we are not aware of things to come, but what is our focus? What is our emphasis in our mind? What is our vision? What do we focus on? So today I would like to focus on some good news, an encouraging message, and some examples of good reporting. Some encouraging messages. I think the sermonette was a perfect example of, you know, not allowing one to get discouraged in a discouraging situation, and kind of flipped it a little bit, and it was encouraging, and it led to trying to lead one to be encouraged, even though there was work to be done. Probably one of the most familiar passages or set of scripture where you think about the effects of reporting is found in Numbers 13 and verse 27. We have a specific example of two separate groups of reporters, and you see the effects of the different reporters there. These were the scouts. 17% of the scouts, Caleb and Joshua, were going to give a good report. Same land, same outlook on what they were seeing. And then you had some negative reporters where all they saw was the bad. Numbers 13 and verse 27. Numbers 13 and verse, we'll start in verse 27. Now here we'll start with the negative reporting. We'll see the details and how it affected the individuals. And actually, I'd like to start drop down a little bit in verse 32. Verse 32 of chapter 13 in Numbers. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." What happened after that? How did that report affect the congregation? "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" The effects of that negative reporting, you know, they wanted different leadership. They were ready to go back to Egypt. They did not want to press forward. And here, you know, there was no option. There was no flip of the coin or even thought that this is a blessing that God is giving us. Shouldn't we maybe go where the blessing is that he said is a promised land? It was devastating effects of a bad report. Their perspective, there was no blessing to be had. It was all negative. Now notice chapter 14, verse, we drop down to verse 6. "But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes." So they were grieved by the reporting, just frustrated. "We're so close. And they spoke to all the congregations, to the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Totally different perspective, same land, different report. What were they focusing on? If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land, and he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Totally different report. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Don't fear. Press forward. Be encouraged. He's there for us. He's going to help us through this. Yes, that looks like a rather bleak situation with the large men, giants. Yeah, that could cause a problem. But be encouraged. Let's press forward. God is bringing us into this land. Let's drop down to verse 35 through 38, and we'll see the end result of a negative reporting and the reward for a specific action. There's a certain language used here that's quite interesting. We'll start in verse 35. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die. The result of heeding basically lies, or heeding a negative report, and the end result of that negative report. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy the land, who returned to and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. And the King James Version says that they were the men who went to search the land and so lived. They sought out that good land. They searched the land. Were the other spies maybe not as diligent to look for what was good, to seek out that land and to see the good that was there? Now you think about peace and having peace in one's life. How are we to have peace in our lives? You seek peace and pursue it. There's an active approach. What are we looking for? What will we find? A couple, well, 2-3 weeks ago, I had the privilege to meet Yakov Smirnoff. As some of you have heard of him, he's a famous comedian. He now has a running show, or he's had a long running show in Branson, Missouri, Yakov. Of course, you know, he's been a comedian for a really long time. We're looking at renting the theater there in Branson. And so Mr. Blackwell and myself went to Branson, and he's the one that ends up giving us a tour of the theater, which was interesting. And so we were able to meet him. And I remember going to one of his shows. Just has an interesting perspective on many different things, most of it being the fact that he was so new, moving from Russia to the U.S. And so his perspective on things were a little different. It was always, I bet you never looked at it that way before, you know. And so he would bring out the humor looking through the different lens. But I went back and listened to one of his recorded acts, and he says to the audience, you know, so much of what you see is your perspective, and it's what you focus on. So much of what you perceive is what you focus on. And he said that you see what you seek. You see what you seek. I thought that was an interesting statement and very true. But he says that the media only wants you to focus on the bad. And what you focus on and perceive, you will start to believe. And that's also true. Perception does become reality in so many cases. But he said in Russia, 270 million people believe in communism because that's what they are told to see. That's the only thing that they're told to see. They can't see anything else. And he said in America, you can see what you want to see. You have choice. Although I will say that it seems that as we draw closer to the return of Christ, there is a voice that is being quieted, which has to do with God, his way of life, the Ten Commandments. And there's another voice that is getting louder and louder. But, you know, this was 25 years ago and what he was saying. But he said, you know, you can see what you seek here in the U.S. He said, if you want to seek something bad, it's very easy to find. Just watch the Jerry Springer show. And that is true. He said, if you seek something pure and wholesome, it can be hard to find, but you can find it. He said, there's just no ratings for the media in that regard. He said, they're not going to show you a story about a policeman that uses his lunch hour to donate blood. He says, they're not going to show you a story about a high school football coach trying to motivate his kids or playing, you know, the Giants. They're outmatched. You're not going to hear of the football coach that says, don't worry, you may be small, but you're slow. And yet he recognizes that win or lose, he's going to buy them pizza after the game. So he has a little wit and humor about him in many cases. He is a funny individual. But he's making a point. You know, there's good out there, but what do we focus on? What's our focus? What do we see? What do we visualize? Again, we certainly notice that we live in a world that is becoming more and more dangerous. We know that perilous times are ahead. But our focus must still be on the kingdom of God. Our focus must be on God's word and the encouragement that we find through his scriptures. We must trust God and put our faith in him and continue to press forward. Caleb and Joshua saw the good in the land that God was bringing them to, the promised land, this type of the kingdom of God to come, the kingdom to come. We too are seeking a homeland, not physical, but the coming kingdom of God. Our focus and perspective has to be on the good to come. Otherwise, we will get discouraged by what's around us in this world. Do we look past the trees of negativity that are in this world being promoted by Satan? Or do we focus on that coming kingdom, the kingdom to come? The trees are getting bigger and bigger. The branches are getting larger and larger. The leaves are growing. It's harder to see. We must keep focused. Our vision must not be blurred. This past week, we took a hike all the way up to Brothers Lookout. I don't know, have any of you done the Three Sisters Trail and Brothers Lookout? Gorgeous scenery. And, you know, we started out really confident and encouraged because this trail was easy. We were jumping on rocks, taking pictures, and kind of wasted some valuable energy on the front side. Because, you know, we need to go to the lookout. And then we start hiking up to get to this lookout. Well, the last half mile of this hike is rather strenuous. And we had already been hiking for, you know, 3 hours or more. And we were starting to get hot and tired. And our children were ready to go to the car. And let's not worry about the hike. And you try to encourage them too. And you're like, look, we're so close. It's right up there. You see that? We're never going to get there. We're never going to get there, you know. And then I have to admit, too, you know, as I hear them kind of, we need to turn around. I'm thinking, I think we might need to turn around, too. But I will say Katie kept us going. Push ahead. Let's go. Nope, we're going to like it when we get there. We're going to eat lunch there. It's going to be fun. So she had to fight against us a little bit. But I will say, you know, we got to a certain point, and there was a couple that was coming down from the lookout, and they got to us, and they said, I asked them, I said, how much closer are we to the top? And he said, you're a lot closer, you know, just around there. Is it family friendly up there? Oh, yeah, you're going to love it. You're not far. Keep going. He had some really encouraging words to say, and it was like, okay, let's go. Let's keep pressing on. So we put the terrain aside and just kept pressing forward, and we were able to make it to the top. And it was one of the most enjoyable memories with my family. It was very encouraging, and you're at the top, and they've accomplished something, and we didn't lose sight of the vision, although it was close. We were very close to losing our focus, and we were so close, but we were able to rest. We had rest. We had a nice picnic lunch. The scenic view, it was outstanding. And what a memory. We're so thankful that we did that. But how easy is it to focus on that worldly terrain instead of the coming kingdom? How close are we? We could be very close. How close are we? We can't lose vision. What's our vision? What's our focus? Part of our focus is that we focus on that good news message to come. The message to come of the good news ahead. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 20. Here we have a song of David, and the ark had just been placed in the tabernacle, and there was great thankfulness with King David. Notice what part of his focus was and concentration was. Start in verse 20. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." Day to day, proclaim the good news of his salvation. Declare his glory among the nation, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. What's our focus? Now, there's a good news focus to concentrate with King David. It's encouraging when we think about what God is doing, what he is preparing us for, what is ahead. This does not mean that we don't recognize the faults of the world. It does not mean that we do not have very fervent prayers, "Thy kingdom come," that we don't cry out to God. But it means we don't dwell on that sin that surrounds us in this world. What about a marriage? We could focus on the faults of our mates, although some are maybe newly married, I'm not for sure. They don't have any faults at this point, at least for the first year and a half or so. But, you know, what do we focus on? What do we focus on? The faults? Or, you know, if I keep working on them, I'll just change them to be like I want them to be. Or do we think about those positive traits? Do we build each other up? Do we encourage each other? What's our focus? And of course, we're not talking about staying in an abusive relationship. But we're talking about love. Thanks, no evil. Love. Thanks, no evil. If we lose focus and dwell on an evil world, it will affect our thoughts. It will discourage us. We live in Satan's world, and we know that before the return of Jesus Christ, it will go from bad to worse. It will be like the days of Noah, times of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, how did the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, the time that Lot was in and the days that he was dwelling in, how did it affect him with that evil that was around him? Was he struggling with being encouraged? 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. 2 Peter 2 in verse 6. This is jumping into context a bit, but you'll see what part I'm focusing on. 2 Peter 2 and starting in verse 6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by filthy conduct of the wicked." He was oppressed for the times that he was in. "For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." I would say he was discouraged, but it was because of the sin that was around him. His soul was vexed. The wickedness was around him. He was discouraged. If all we see and hear and think about and meditate on is the evil, we will become discouraged. We must have a different focus, a different message. We must study God's word. It must be in the forefront of our thoughts and minds. We must concentrate on that good news, a good message that the work of the church is doing today. Titus 2 and verse 11. Titus 2 in verse 11. What was Paul's advice for the younger Titus in the present age that he was in? What was his focus? What was he to look to? What was he to concentrate on? Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Advice on what we should do, what our concentration would be in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope, you think, looking, focusing on, what is our focus? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are better times ahead. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So this is what I want you to focus on, Titus. And now go and exhort. Encourage. Let that be a part of your message and your voice. Encourage. Strengthen with that message of hope. Titus was a messenger of God. He was to promote a message of good news. He was a part of getting the good news and the good message out. Who else are good messengers of God? What about God's holy angels? And we do know that they're a part of warning messages as well. But are they, you know, what's their focus? Are they encouragers? Or do they give good reports? The word angel in the New Testament comes from the Greek word angelos, which simply means messenger. God's holy angels are messengers. Now, the equivalent Hebrew word in the Old Testament, malak, has the same meaning, but angel means messenger. What type of messengers are God's holy angels? What do you think their focus is? There are other scriptures that indicate that they report back to God and give a message to him. To what extent? And the details of that we don't understand completely, but we do know that some do report back to God and give a response. But what do you think their focus is? Are God's angels negative messengers? I have more bad news for you. I'll have more later. I'm going back out. I'll go gather some more bad news. You know, what is their focus, do you wonder? I think it's more like, look what's going on here. Look what's going on in Castle Rock. Look at the hospitality. Look at the encouragement. Look at the good things. Look at the love that they have for one another, the encouragement to one another. I think there's a different focus. I don't think they're dwelling on the negativity. Of course, we know that there are different messengers and different responsibilities. And I'm sure that some are reporting the state of what's going on. But we know that God sees all, knows all. So I don't want to diminish that. But we do know that they do report to a certain degree and in a certain way. Some messengers, Gabriel is known for giving a message from God, a future birth of John the Baptist, future birth of Jesus Christ. And God has also sent his angels and messengers to encourage God's people at times when they are discouraged. God sends angels, or sent an angel to discourage Gideon. God had allowed the Midianites to oppress the Israelites for 7 years, and Gideon was discouraged. God's people were discouraged. But then Gideon receives a message from God. Don't be discouraged, you're going to be delivered. God will be with you, you mighty man of valor. And he encourages him. Such encouraging words. Another example can be found in 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Elijah, the prophet, even after receiving a victory from God, which you would think he would be maybe on a high and even more encouraged, he became quickly discouraged because of a negative report. That negative report being Jezebel's after your life. He was basically at his wit's end. Can't take this anymore. He's very discouraged. Probably depressed would be the right word. 1 Kings 19 and verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword, that victory that he had been given. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Now, here's a different type of messenger, and this is going to be a bad messenger, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. He was over it. "It's enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my father's." Then he laid and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." He was discouraged, but he received an encouraging message from an angel, a messenger. "Arise and eat." So he'd stopped eating. He was depressed. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." He knew he was discouraged, but he received encouragement from a holy messenger from God. Again, messengers from God, angels, he'll use to give a warning message to, but I believe that from what Scripture says, that the angels are very careful with how they report and what they are reporting about. Notice 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh of the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." Who is them? Possibly other celestial beings, perhaps fallen angels. Referring back to verse 4 in the context, it seems that's what it is. Perhaps they are not to bring a reviling accusation against Satan himself. If that is the focus for the angels, they are not to bring an accusation in that regard and bring that type of message. What is our responsibility here on earth and our focus? Are we a part of a good message? Are we encouragers? Do we focus on the good? The angels of God are good messengers. Their focus is not on bad reporting. Think about Christ's message on earth. It was a good news message of a coming kingdom of God. A message about salvation and that healing would come through him. He was and is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is offered through him. Matthew 9 and verse 35, what was Christ's focus? "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest.'" But the emphasis I'd like to focus on is on verse 35. The NIV translation says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news." There was that focus and emphasis, the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. He was proclaiming that good news to come. There was evil that was around him, but his focus wasn't on the evil. It was on what he would provide and the coming kingdom as well. It was a message of encouragement, of hope. Luke 4 in verse 43. Luke 4 and verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. This was his focus. This was what he was going to do. This is what he was going to be about. Again, the NIV translation says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that was why I was sent. That was his primary focus. That was a part of what he was there for, and to bring salvation, healing, and life through him. The church of God today is a part of a work, that work to proclaim the good news to come, a part of that message of hope and encouragement. There certainly is evil around us, but the church's focus is on the good news to come, a positive message. When I was preparing the sermon, I received the newest booklet that we had, The World to Come, What It's Like. So what an encouraging booklet, an outstanding booklet. But it came with a letter from Mr. Franks. And I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs because it hit me. Obviously, I was focused on this particular topic. But I'd like to read two small paragraphs from what he said in his letter. And he said, the many trials in this modern world can be so overwhelming at times that we become discouraged. This is truly one of Satan's tools. When we become discouraged, we lose hope and fall prey to the world around us. This causes us to focus on the bad news. But our hope is in the world to come. This means we look at this world through a different prism, the prism of hope for the future, and are not blinded by the darkness that consumes the world. What is our focus? What are we looking for? Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Where there was a void, where there was lacking, God is not going to forsake Israel, ultimately. There's going to be restoration. And you think about our own personal lives and where we started from and the road that we were on until God opened our mind and led us to a different hope and a different message that he put in our hearts and mind. Look to the fact that Zion will be blessed. The desert will blossom. That void and the desolation, it will not be that way forever. You know, what do you think that Christ talks to the Father about? What do you think they talk about? Oh boy, this Bobby, he's horrible. I don't think he's going to make it. You know, he has no potential. I thought he would do better. And, you know, they're not willing that any should perish. Yeah, I think they concentrate on the potential. And look where they are overcoming. Look how far they've come. There's still growth to be had, but there's so much potential there. I think he's going to do great in the kingdom. I think that this is what's going to be good for him or her. The potential to come. I believe that there is a focus of positivity. God's spirit is one of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. To have that mindset, to have that focus, they're obviously not dwelling on that negative, but on the good to come. So for the rest of the time, I'd like for us to ask the question to ourselves, what type of messenger are we? Are we one of good report? What's our focus? Are the trees around us and the worldly events that are coming to fruition? Are they blocking our vision of the hope that's ahead in the coming kingdom? Are we encouragers? How can we be encouragers? Again, I mentioned that Mr. Blackwell and myself went to Branson and were able to meet Yakov Smirnoff. We chatted a little bit afterwards about the prior shows, past shows. And Mr. Blackwell, he said there was one particular thing that he said in one of his shows that really stuck with him for many years afterwards. And he said that on his children's birthdays, Yakov, he would invite children over, and then he would have his children give gifts to the other kids. He said, and Mr. Blackwell, he brought that up to him when we were talking. He said, it always stuck out to me. He said, I really messed my kids up. And my kids were always like, Dad, why? Why do you make us give gifts to other people? But I believe it was a very good thing, and he was joking, obviously. But that was what he said, and he mentioned in one of his shows, there's a way of give and there's a way of get. Well, we know what Mr. Armstrong taught over and over again. There are two different ways. Are we waiting for people to encourage us? I would be more of an encouraging person if they would encourage me. Or are we encouraging others? It takes a giving attitude. There's a way of get. There's a way of give. Are we encouragers? How can we be encouragers? And as we wind things down, I would like to focus on a few examples on being a good encourager. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. So much of it has to do with what we say and what we do. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. Proverbs 15 and verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The right timing, the right encouragement at the right time. Jeremiah encouraging at the right time. It can really go a long ways. During the heart of the global pandemic, although it seems to continue on and on. But in the heart of it, actor John Krasinski came up with his own news outlet, and it was entitled Some Good News, and he did this on the YouTube channel. And he knew that many were forced with isolation, discouraging news headlines, and he knew that many needed to be encouraged. So he came up with that good news, and he just concentrated on good reports, good news. And it was encouraging for some. It was very popular. Our summer camp and the outreach program, for those children to help in creating the cards and then sending them out to the shut-ins and the widows. And you hear back from them and say, that was so encouraging. And at the right time, they needed it. So it can be a great pick-me-up. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. But a word fitly spoken, a word at the right time. There is a time to keep our mouths shut, bluntly, to be frank. If there is a right time, there's also a wrong time. But at the right time, it can mean so much. It can be so valuable. If one is not wise with their words and they just say the first thing that pops in all the time, this is the habit. I visualize, not apples of gold. I visualize rotten apples, a basket full of apples that are full of worms. I think, here, I'm giving this as a gift. How good is that? How much value are in those apples? But a word fitly spoken, or is like apples of gold in settings of silver. There's value there. There's great value. We want to encourage one another when we can and at the right time. Think about what we say, how we say it. Pray for wisdom and ask that God will put the right words in your heart and mind. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, you know, focuses, maybe there's fear, maybe there's stress, there's a focus on the fear, there's an anxiety there. But that in the heart will cause one to be depressed. But a good work or a good word makes it glad. You know, a word fitly spoken, again, it can really encourage one and help one who is discouraged or even depressed. If one is depressed, is it really the right time to really whop them over the head? Whop, whop, whop with words. You know, get up, suck it up, let's go, come on, you know, snap out of it. What's wrong with you? They need encouragement at times, patience. And the right word, the timely word can be so encouraging. And then in Proverbs 31 and verse 26, we won't turn there, but we're told about the godly woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. Do we have this law ruling our lives? Do we have a law of kindness? Are our words like a law of kindness? As we travel down roads in our individual lives, we should strive to be givers of gifts with our words, encouragers. What do we give to others? Are we good messengers? Are we encouragers? Every time we listen with interest, that's also a way to give. When you tell the clerk that you appreciate their help, when you go through the grocery store, appreciate your help. You look really busy. I came across one individual in a Jimmy John's on the way into Colorado. And boy, this guy seemed really stressed. And, you know, he was trying to take an order from me. And he's just so mad. And then there's people behind me. It's like, I'm scared to ask a question. Like, can I get pickles? Is that too much? You know, but I was like, you having a good day? And he was like, back to it, you know. Didn't help him much, but maybe I should have said, hey, I hope you have a good day. It's obvious you're not having a good day, but hey, appreciate what you do. I know you're busy today. When you telephone a friend or a church member who's been ill or discouraged, you're extending a verbal gift of encouragement. You're encouraging one another. When you send a card, you're encouraging. We want to be good messengers. It can really help others, be one of a good report, where we focus on a good report as well. Messengers of encouragement to one another, as part of our calling, as part of what we are to focus on, we are to meditate on things that are just, pure, lovely, virtuous, of good report. That is what we are to focus on and what we are to think about, even as the days grow darker, even though it's going to get worse before it gets better. Let's try to focus on the good around us. If that only means our family, our church members, that we draw together, that we unify, that we lock arms, and that we go to God's word and they're encouraged through the Holy Scriptures. One final scripture to conclude, Proverbs 25 and verse 13. Proverbs 25 and verse 13. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. You think about a hot harvest day and receiving something cold, something refreshing. One who is a faithful messenger is refreshing. We want to be refreshing to those around us. We want to be faithful messengers. We want to focus on the coming kingdom. We want to be of one of good report. To be an encourager, to be one who values an encouraging message and thus become a messenger of hope as well, we must seek the good and focus on the coming kingdom. That does not mean that we don't acknowledge that the world is heating up around us. It means that we strive to focus on what is coming, that hope of the kingdom to come. Every day, we have an opportunity to pursue good. What will our focus be? Will we pursue peace? Will we search out the good, or will we focus on the evil? What is your perspective? You will see what you seek. Your perspective can change your outlook. Our number one goal is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So let's all strive to seek out the good in life. Focus on the coming kingdom of God and be a part of that good message, one of hope and encouragement And let's go to God's word and continue to put his word into our hearts and minds. There is good to come, and as the world continues to heat up, our focus cannot be on the looming trees of negativity, but it must be on that kingdom to come. So let's all continue to be encouraged and encourage and edify one another.